Urg.
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 We're cranky today, aren't we?
Yeah, man. We've been cranky all week. We're but cranks. We're old. We're curmudgeons.
The conflict is the essence of drama. So cranky makes for good radio. I mean, you know, look at Rush Limbaugh or Is there
a line between conflict and cranky, though? I think a line in there.
Well, yeah, there's a point where anybody under 50 just stops listening, and I think we've I've dragged you over that line to me.
Yes, yes, I must bitch at everything now. Ah.
Yeah, you know, Chris Matthews really outdid himself this week. I don't like to get into politics, but we have to once in a while. He said that Mitt Romney, and I hate Mitt Romney and I hate Obama, and they're both horrible, but, you know.
You hate the state.
I hate the state.
Including
but
anybody in it.
But I also like to point out the ridiculousness of the left-right paradigm. And Chris Matthews from Hardball. The guy who said, I used to be basically libertarian, then I grew up. said that,
his bank account grew up and he became more of a shill.
Yeah. He said that it was unconstitutional in the debate for Romney to like attack Obama on Obama's record for his first 4 years. And I'm like, what in what constitution are you reading? I guess maybe it could be treason. I don't know, man. What?
Yeah.
What?
It's the MSNBC constitution. They've got their own one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Man. Well, okay, so if it's unconstitutional for Romney to do it, then that makes it unconstitutional in Chris Matthews' mind for anybody to criticize the president during
hardball.
You know, hardball.
I got a hardball for podcasting. Broadcast. Narrowcasting.
Hardball.
Hardball
for people he doesn't like and,
I got
and
my
kitty gloves.
I got my hardball right here. Yeah.
I think you might want to go see a doctor about that.
Yeah.
Hard ball, huh?
Canonical. We are the canonical last word in liberty, the Freedom Fiends are.
Right, right. Not canonical, like maniacal. That's what I was thinking when you were saying that. I was like, it was some kind of alternate evil.
Yeah.
Maniacal.
I said it wrong. At least I don't say library.
I don't say library either.
What did you say?
I said library.
You said, I'm not a child or Sean Puffy Combs.
It wasn't Puff Daddy, was it?
Who was it?
No, it was Kanye West.
Yeah. Yeah. Does he say library?
He says getting brain in the library because I love knowledge. Maybe he says library, though, but I don't know. I'll have to go back and listen to the line again. But it's one of my favorite lines, but it sounds like he says library.
I'm a libertarian. That's someone who's, you know, a lot of times, like, people make a typo when they try to spell libertarian and they spell librarian. But I'm a libertarian. That's someone who's adamantly opposed to being robbed by taxes to pay for libraries.
Okay, I'm one of those too. you can put me in the club. I'll sign up for your newsletter.
So Nemo, pull up the Freedom Fiends glossary. I want you to read the three new I added three new terms that we've been using.
Yes, including Rhodes Scholar and what else?
Macho Libertarian Flash. And a single entry for crocodile and tranny hookers. Did you know that that Harvard University has a long-standing, like 100-year-long a cappella group called the Crocodillos?
Really?
Yeah, Topher Spurlock on 30 Rock was a member of the Crocodillos.
Do they spell it the same, like with a K, like the Russian crocodile?
Yeah.
Is that where it come from? Like, they're like, oh, we should be the crocodiles, but in Russian, because that'll be cool.
I think it's Latin. I think it's the same in Latin. But
I guess I could see that. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Well, according to our glossary, a Rhodes Scholar is a statist who says...
R-O-A-D-S. R-O-A-D-S Scholar.
Yes, yes. Which is take off on, you know, Rhodes Scholar, like R-H-O-D-E-S, which is some kind of academic muckety-mucketness. So, Rhodes Scholar... R-O-A-D-S, a statist who says, but who would build the roads as their first line of defense whenever anyone mentions reducing the size of or eliminating the government, taken from the phrase Rhodes Scholar, but used as an ironic insult.
Yes.
Although it looks like you put it in here twice.
Yeah, I'll fix that. Go ahead. I was having too much caffeine that day. So read the next one.
Your double shot made you double post?
Oh, yeah. And it made me double poo. I've been on the toilet all day, man. I couldn't wake up, so I had two of those. I had a big cup of coffee. Then I had, like, you know, I have, like, beer mug size coffee cups. And then I had two of those Starbucks double shot espresso 6-ounce things. And, like, I'm going to probably have to interrupt this and run to the toilet. But no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear that. No one.
Yeah.
Not at all.
You're making sangria in the toilet and you've got a how-to blog post.
Okay, read the next one.
All right. Crocodile and tranny hookers. Crocodile is a form of bathtub heroin produced in Russia from over-the-counter pain pills. It contains a lot of dangerous chemicals in the final mixture. Injecting Crocodile destroys the flesh of the user and makes their skin rot off, looking like the skin of a crocodile in the process. Yes. Tranny hookers are transvestite prostitutes or transsexual prostitutes.
Don't click on those links.
Don't click on the link.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
You know, I kind of have to now, don't I?
Yeah.
I'm not at work. Oh, there's a YouTube video for one of them. So it can't be all bad. All
right. Yeah.
Anyway, Michael and Nima think tranny hookers and Crocodile should be legal. But as Macho Libertarian Flash often joke about partying with tranny hookers and using Crocodile.
Wait, you didn't put the period in there. They think it should be legal, period. Not period. It should be legal as Macho Libertarian right. Flash.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. Legal, period. But as Macho Libertarian Flash, we talk about using it. While Michael did some things that sort of like that back in his rock star days with the band Bomb, Michael no longer does, and Nima never did. No, I never did Crocodile or a tranny hooker.
Yeah, well, you know, once in a while I'll put on a slip and drink too much coffee, but you know, I don't smoke crackadil and.
Well, that's more
hookers.
Of a rock star thing. You want to look like Kurt Cobain at that Reading Festival.
Yeah, but I'm 48. I don't look like Kurt Cobain at that. He was smart enough to die young while he was still wearing slips. He didn't become the creepy old uncle.
Right.
Of Liberty.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Is that the end of Crocodile and Tranny Hookers?
I guess I could finish the end of Crocodile.
Yeah.
All right. Nima never did, but they still like talking about it. And in a real lib pair, people wouldn't have to make dangerous heroin substitutes in a bathtub from toxic chemicals. Because pure, clean, pharmaceutical-grade heroin would be available in bulk at Walmart, though probably in a different aisle than the sugar to avoid problems.
Okay, the last part's in quotes about in a different aisle. Some libertarian said that. It might have been Vin Stowipowitz or whatever, but I'm not sure who it was. If anybody knows who said that, that part about, you know, in a libertarian paradise, heroin would be available in Walmart, but not in the same aisle as the sugar to avoid confusion. I couldn't find
it online.
It could
be available in the pharmacy, man.
I couldn't find it online. So if anyone knows, they can call in. What's the call-in number?
Call-in number is 307-215-5171. Again, that's
307-215-5171.
Yeah. If you want to tell us your story about shooting crocodile and having sex with transsexuals,
shooting tranny, shooting tranny hookers. So,
shooting tranny hookers and having sex with crocodiles.
Yeah.
That's a little bit more dangerous. That's a Steve Irwin shit.
I was checking out libertarians, but I listened to this radio show and they said it's all about shooting trannies and having sex with crocodiles. I don't think I'm interested.
Yeah. Although that would make for some good TV. See, that's what we need to do to get our own libertarian cable channels. That'll be our main show is somebody shooting tranny hookers and having sex
with crocodile island.
Right, the crocodile hunter.
Crocodile island.
Crocodile island.
Starring the croc hunter. The crocodile hunter. You got to turn up a little bit,
man. Crocodile hunter.
You got to turn up.
Yeah.
Because I'm using this most like amazing mic today. So I, you know.
Okay. You're a bit more present. I feel like I may be too loud if I'm like this. Is that too loud?
Not if you don't get loud. You have to be quiet. You have to like have mic technique, man. You have to just get up on it.
I'm going to be very still. I'm going to pretend I'm a monk. And
Welcome to Delicious Dish on NPR.
Good times.
Yeah.
Very good times.
Yeah. So, okay, read Macho Libertarian Flash.
But we just got so unmacho, man. Macho Man. Okay. Macho Libertarian Flash. A 1970s Libertarian Party term describing the concept of taking the most extreme position a libertarian can take. E.g., instead of saying, pot should be decriminalized and anyone in any state who can pass a background check should be able to get a concealed carry permit. The Macho Libertarian Flasher says... That's one who engages in Macho Libertarian Flash.
A Macho Libertarian Flasher, yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, he would say, 5-year-old kids should be able to buy heroin and automatic weapons in vending machines as long as the vending machines are privately owned and operated.
Yeah.
In the original 1970s Libertarian Party concept of the term, Macho Libertarian Flash was derogatory, something to be avoided because it would scare people away from libertarian politics. But the freedom fiends don't believe in politics, and they generally do believe that Macho Libertarian Flash, the Macho Libertarian Flash answer on any issue, is the correct answer, and not just for appearances.
I worked pretty hard on that. You like that one?
I like that one a lot, especially the ending. It's the correct answer and not just for appearances.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah. And morphines coming up.
Morphines. Available in the sugar aisle at Walmart. Flintstones chewable morphine.
Mom, I need more Flintstones chewable morphine.
Okay.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Want to search porn in private? Or maybe you just want to talk to your friends without some tech goon hired off a pizza box snooping through your private thoughts. MetroPipe VPN is a secure computing service operated by privacy-loving anarcho-capitalists. Accounts can be had for as little as $7.50 a month. They take Bitcoin, don't keep any logs, and hate nanny intrusions as much as you do. Get a 25% discount by going to metropipe.net/fiends. That's metropipe.net/fiends.
How many bods are you podcasting here?
Million bods. 1 million. I don't even know what a bod is, but we're podcasting it all day.
Bods the way they measured kilobytes per second before, you know, like back fax machines are measured in bods. Back when it would have cost $1 million to make one episode of Freedom Fiends, because the, you know,
because we'd have to have stacks and stacks of magnetic tape.
When I was on the internet first, we had to like carve our MP3s. I had to type out the zeros and ones on a mechanical typewriter.
No, they were like little notes on a music box. You had to have these giant metal cylinders.
So we decided that we're going to talk about the name of this episode is Macho Libertarian Flash, and so that'll be good for SEO. And we're kind of in that mood today, and we're trying to wake up. You know, I just shot a bunch of crocodile and shot some tranny hookers and had sex with an alligator. So, and you know, I keep running to the bathroom because I'm pooing like, you know, man seed out my butt because I had sex. God. I got gang banged by about 40 male tranny hookers last night. So
wow. Although you can do that in the state too, you just go to prison, right?
Like, see, the
you
point
want to get cummed in your butt by a gangbang.
The point of Macho Libertarian Flash. A lot of libertarians, especially anyone involved in politics, avoids it like the plague. They're like, I don't even want to go there, man. I mean, that's going to turn people off. And I'm like, you know, people. there's this essay called "I Hate Your Politics No Matter What." By I forget who, but he goes through Republicans, Democrats, and libertarians, and
people are going to imagine the Macho Libertarian Flash answers anyway, and they're going to think you're a liar because you're avoiding them. So just embrace them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things he says in this is libertarians believe in legalized drugs and prostitution, but they probably wouldn't want their kids blowing strangers for crack. you know, they don't even want to consider it. They don't even want to consider that people would do things. And we're not talking about kid stuff here, but we're talking about, you know, man, it's like, you know, if you believe in, how many libertarians believe in guns and don't own one? And how many libertarians believe drugs should be legal, but have never done any and wouldn't want it in their neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to this dude the other day, and he was like, yeah, I agree with pot, but I mean, you don't want somebody selling heroin to your kids. What would happen if somebody sold heroin to my kids? And I'd be like, well, they're your kids, so you would take care of it. If they were my kids, I'd stop feeding them unless they stopped doing heroin or something.
You know what? Heroin's less harmful than alcohol. I was a heroin addict for years and an alcoholic for years before that. The only problem with heroin is the fact that it's illegal, and because it's illegal, it's expensive and impure.
Yeah. And here's another one. I think, you know, right now I've been delivering pizzas part-time. I think if drugs were legal, my job would be, since I go all around town, would be to deliver
tranny hookers and crocodile.
Tranny hookers and drugs to people. Yeah, because right now, I mean, pizza is kind of like a drug. Like, it's not really that nutritionally beneficial to you.
And since
it's mostly
delivering
high portions of carbs and sugars and fats to your body.
When we actually order food, even though it's like, when we order pizza, like occasionally, even though it's within our diet to occasionally have a free meal or a cheat meal or whatever. When we're ordering it, like as soon as we're done, I feel guilty. Like, oh man, I just relapsed on my diet, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
it is like a
drug. I've been really bad for a few weeks, but for a while there, I was pretty good about eschewing grains. And anytime I would cheat,
eschewing grains, Nima.
Eschewing.
MC Library. You're MC Library. MC Library. Who am I? DJ Canonical.
Canonical. No, you gotta say it wrong.
You're Canonical. I'm feeling Canonical about Macho Libertarian Flash.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would like pass out, man. Have you ever like gone into a pizza coma? Like you can OD on pizza, man. You eat like four slices and you just go to sleep. Or like pasta. I mean, might as well be a drug.
Yeah. You know, there's in the local newspaper here, there's footage about, or there's an article about how they cleaned up that place we used to go shoot. And they had like some 17-year-old Boy Scout, literal Boy Scout, like volunteered and organized people and got donations and, you know, donations of like garbage bags and, you know, a big thing, dumpster to carry it away in and truckers to carry it away. And they took seven tons of trash out of there altogether. Wow. And they had before and after pictures. And I'm going to send you the before picture because for some reason it's got a TV that looks a lot like my old TV in it. But I wouldn't say that, you know, I don't think it's mine. And, you know, it says in there that you can get fined for littering out there. But, you know, I would never litter. But there is a picture of a TV out there in the before picture that looks a lot like my my old TV. Remember my old TV?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I guess that's where we'll end that conversation right there.
I just sent it to you on our encrypted. Yeah, we're talking about what I'm sending to you encrypted on a Pigeon.
Yes. But, yeah, good job.
That should be the picture for this man, episode.
So hold on. I'm curious now. What's going on with where we used to shoot? It was like a paradise for shooting. Are we not? Are people not going to be shooting everything out there all the time now?
You just have to take it with you when you're done.
Pack
basically,
it out.
Basically, there's a
pack
state.
Out what you pack in.
Basically, a state senator pays to like graze his cows on that land, so he's making a big fuss to clean it up. And they had a big article in the paper about how horrible litter bugs shooters are, like on the first day of hunting season in the local liberal what's the paper called, the Tranny Red Star.
The Tranny Star Tribune.
Yeah.
The Casper's.
The thing about like liberals is they don't want trannies either, unless it's San Francisco and you need their vote, you know. It's like there was that one mayor, the black mayor in San Francisco, that used to be like partying with tranny hookers on the gay day parade float, but that wouldn't happen most places. I mean, he was like, you know, like grinding with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Bloomberg.
They're just a little more progressive there. In San Francisco.
Bloomberg will steal some money and give it to him, but he won't get on the float and let him grind him. You know, like Mayor Willie Brown did.
Right. He does that in private. He's got a little bit more respect than that.
Willie Brown is married to a female. Voodooine from New Orleans.
Voodoo queen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know this.
How he got so powerful. Was he into the voodoo before then?
Maybe he was sacrificing tranny hookers to
to the volcano god.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the god of Scientology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I did an interview with Taran Lupo yesterday, who's an amazing guy. It's going to come out this Saturday on the Anarchy Gumbo, and then the third part of the Dick Dale interview will come out the following week. But he said during the cast that he was the third wheel on the Wheels Off Liberty podcast. And I didn't know that. And I was like, you know, that's my least favorite podcast in the world. And it is. I hate it, but I'm glad it exists. They have a good message of liberty, but they're so absurd. And I kind of think in the back of my head that like today I'm trying to outdo them with absurdity. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Although I did have a less absurd thought, and it's practical and it's related, so I was going to bring that up. What do you think about that, about packing out what you pack into this public place where everybody goes to shoot? And also, I think it's important to compare how messy this public land got on when people were shooting at it to private land that people shoot on, which is usually clean.
I kind of liked how it looked messy, but I'm willing to carry my stuff out if that's going to be, you know, if they're going to be stopping people and fining them. It says they can fine you $750 and 6 months in jail, but
shit.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't complain.
I liked it messy too, because it added to the ambiance of this is a place where you
for
go
shooting.
Destroy things with bullets.
Yeah.
And then you get to destroy other people's things that they already shot. Like if you don't have your own TV to bring, you can shoot somebody else's old TV. It was just a wonderful paradise.
That TV in that picture, in the before picture, looks a lot like that TV that's in that Guns and Weed movie we watched together that time.
Yes,
it's not. I mean, it's not my TV. I just used to own the same model, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Ah, of course. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I think I think if it was private land or land that you knew the person or had to sign some sort of contract, you know, it wouldn't be a big thing to package your stuff out. Or
it'd be clean.
You would have a clause saying, hey, we'll clean it up if you pay this, you know, $5 monthly fee or something.
Yeah, it's the problem of the commons, man.
It is the problem of the commons. That's the point I was trying to make. But yeah. we'll have more raunchier stuff coming up very soon.
More macho littering trash. Macho littering
macho
flash.
Littering trash. Yeah. Libertarian flash.
Yeah.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Sounds like Star Trek when I do that.
Oh, I was hoping you'd do it through the whole bump. I was quite entertained. Wow. I didn't realize the bump was so long.
Well, cats are important, man. You know, cats run the internet. And the reason I have to add cat photos of my cats on Facebook and elsewhere every day is because if I don't, all the servers will crash because cats do power the internet. And I'm going to use a picture of Peanut licking water from the faucet for today's Macho Libertarian Flash.
You've got to do the right thing and provide the cats or else the commons will collapse.
Macho littering trash.
Macho Libertarian cats is also very important.
I'm ordering more memory for my the computer we're transmitting on.
Yay. Yes. You know, also in Macho Libertarian Flash Paradise, cars would have gun turrets on top and electrical fields that would electrocute people trying to burglarize them.
You would do
one of those like girly commercials where it's like my lip pair, you know, like my Yoplait is delicious and sugary. Yeah. And my lip pair, tranny hookers would fuck you.
My muffin top is all that.
It's all that. Yeah. Whole grain, low fat, baby.
Whole grain, low fat. My muffin top is all that, but I just want to dance.
Yeah. Oh, do werewolf bar mitzvah.
Werewolf
spooky,
bar mitzvah.
Scary. Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Werewolf bar mitzvah. Wow, so we're talking about werewolf bar mitzvahs.
That's what we're talking
about. I guess
about.
That's a lot better than talking about Barbies, though.
Or shooting prostitutes and having sex with alligators.
Is there a Jewish Ken? Like, is there a Ken Goldberg? Because they have, like, black Barbies and, like, Asian Barbies. Do they have, like, a Jew Barbie?
Anything I answer is going to be wrong.
Yeah, I put you on the spot, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not that attractive, but he can take care of you well.
Yeah.
I don't know. They could get away with that on 30 Rock. I can't get away with it here, probably.
Also, can but girls be his?
I don't have the military industrial complex to back me up like GE does.
Yeah. Or AIPAC. Yeah. You're in a sticky situation. Can girls be Hasidic Jews, man? Because, like, whenever you think of Hasidic Jews, you think of the guys with, you know, a traditional outfit and the long curly sideburns. Or but you never think of, like, women.
Or when Liz's gay cousin from Needmore, Pennsylvania shows up in New York and sees Hasidic Jews, he's like, boy, there's a lot of Amish here.
Yeah, there was some comedian I heard that was saying that. And he was like, he was confused that the Hasidic Jew was on his BlackBerry. He's like, wait, I'm supposed to have electricity.
Well, Ben Quaker is a bad Quaker because Quakers can't use electricity and he podcasts.
I thought Quakers can.
Quakers issue? It's Amish. People mix up Amish and Quaker. It's a joke.
You're poking Ben.
The Freedom Fiends are always right, so we can be wrong and it's a joke. We're the canonical liberty.
Yeah. Just joking.
Everything, you know. Right. I mean, someone said, you know, in LibPair, you know, would Michael Dean make people see? Would he make people sit down and watch all the Atlas Shrugged movies now that the second one's come out and we have Hesperus did a good review of it? Oh, it wasn't necessarily a good review, but it was well-written review of the movie. He had some problems with it, but no, I would not.
You meant the review itself was good, not the that the review.
He
was
did a good job. It was a good review. It was a mixed review, but no, I wouldn't. In my libertarian reindoctrination camps, I would not make the kids watch her because she has it wrong, man. She's a statist. Atlas Shrugged.
Did she come up with the phrasing of the non-aggression principle? Was she the first one to say that?
She didn't have anything to do with the non-aggression principle.
She explains
it,
though, doesn't she?
Her whole thing was business should be unregulated, and there's a lot more to life than that.
No, some other libertarian was saying that he disagreed with Ayn Rand generally, but he liked her saying the non-aggression principle. And there's a YouTube video, too, I didn't watch, so I didn't do my homework on this, but I think she has some kind of connection with the non-aggression principle.
Ugh, humans. Stop it. Okay, it's my dad. He'll be here on the air on Thursday in my room. He doesn't need to be calling me right now. So, no, man. Libertarian reindoctrination camp, here's what it would be. They put the kids in it and the adults in it. You'd make them read Anatomy of the State by Murray Rothbard. Then you'd make them listen to every Freedom Fiends and every Bad Quaker episode ever. And that would take about, 5-10 days, depending on whether they slept. You let them sleep. And then you would just give them a shoeshine kit and kick them out on their own, and they'd have to support themselves. That's how my libertarian reindoctrination camp would work.
A shoeshine kit, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. That they'd have to make themselves during the time they're there out of materials they find.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm not sure. On Wiki, she's on the page about non-aggression, and looks like she made some, explanation of it or something. But I'm not a Randian, and I'm not obsessed with Rand or objectivism. And yeah, she does get a lot of things wrong. So, but if anybody out there was, or that's how you came to Jesus or liberty, it's through Ayn Rand, tell us her thoughts on non-aggression and if it's like a big part of her. Because if I'm not mistaken, she wasn't necessarily anti-war all the way. Like, she thought that,
war is good for
still,
business.
She still envisioned, well, I don't think she thought of it in that way, but I think she thought of it as she still envisioned nation states and a nation having to defend itself through the use of the military might be necessary. But she was still in that old paradigm of nation state thinking. In my opinion, I don't know a whole lot about Rand.
I think I was trying to turn off the ringer, and I think I answered the phone and then like bitched about my dad, and he probably heard it, and then he hung up.
Well, you didn't bitch about him. You just said he was going to be on.
Yeah, I'm excited he's going to be on. I'm excited he's going to be here visiting. It's going to be great. I just can't talk to him while I'm doing a live radio show. Unless he wants to
try.
I should call him back and tell him to call in on the call-in number.
307. There you go.
I don't even know the call-in number. I don't care. I don't want to talk to anybody. We're smart, man. F those people, man. You just see that thread on the Freedom Fiend site where some guy was like trying to do all this, like tell us we're wrong, and he couldn't like use a paragraph break, and he couldn't write, and he couldn't express himself, and then he used like red herrings, straw man, and appeal to authority, and tried to like say we were saying things we weren't, and then wanted to argue, and I said, I'm not going to argue. You can't argue. You don't know how to use logic. And he's still posting. He's still arguing. And I tried to get you involved in it, and you're like, no, man. No, why? And yeah, I'm like, you're right, man.
Yeah. It's, well, I don't want to discourage anybody from giving us your thoughts or your feedback. Michael
I'm
does,
kidding.
But I don't.
People calling, Nima? I don't understand.
They're just going to call and they're going to use logical fallacies. Yeah.
They're just going to call and use logic. God damn them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't necessarily want to address it in blog form, but I guess his argument sort of boiled down to if you're so anti-voting and voting doesn't work, that's coming from the same idea as saying, well, you're an anarchist, so you shouldn't drive on roads and things like that, or you should fight back when the cops try to arrest you and shoot cops. And
he didn't even say when they try to arrest you. He said he did the Rhodes Scholar crap. He said, that's like saying if you're a libertarian, you don't use the roads, which is just, I don't even talk to people after they say that. And then he said something really absurd, which is like, and it's the same thing as saying,
I don't think he was making that. He wasn't trying to be a Rhodes Scholar. He was trying to say that our statements were like that. Like, well, and he also tries to rest.
It's like a boxer. I'm the boxer. And he I'm not going to beat up a kindergartner.
Well, that's kind of an insult. You're starting
ad hominem
with you're starting beef with our listeners.
I'm using ad hominem. I always start beef with our listeners. Okay. That's why they come back, man. Well, if it's not my fault, man.
It's a BDSM
man.
Thing.
A lot of people... No, it isn't. It's not my fault. A lot of people are wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I don't want to get too into that. In fact, I didn't read all the threads, so...
I'm like shopping online right now. I'm barely paying attention to what we're doing. I'm not even paying attention to you. I'm dissing you.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Well, what's I guess this, we'll go to a break and horrible fix, our, music? Fix this music, our technical difficulties.
This music's horrible. Is this you?
No, it's you, man.
Oh, okay. It's great.
Yeah, I don't play guitar. That's
I have
you.
Sand in my vagina today, I think, man.
In your mangina?
Yeah.
You have a sandy mangina? Wow. If you're still listening, I guess stop.
Oh, my God.
Want to contribute to liberty but
no.
Short on cash?
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. We have Freedom Fiends, Anarchy Gumbo, and two designs for Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $6 for 4 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Oh, yeah. I'm Jankum Hornberger. And boy, yeah, I really want to subscribe. No, I hate Twitter. I hate people talking to me.
You're always like, tweet, Nima, twat, retweet our stuff.
Yeah, but that's one way. I don't care about Twitter. Jankum Hornberger.
I'm Jankum Hornberger.
And this is Jankum Hornberger.
I want you to subscribe to a bunch of dry philosophical analyses of libertarianism. Jankum Hornberger, man. Sheesh.
That dang old Jankum Hornberger, you know.
Yeah. I think I just ordered this memory twice, so.
Good. No, double your pleasure. Double your fun. Double your shot. Double your dookie.
Eight megs. I doubled my shots and I spent the whole day in the toilet, man. This is my fourth
turlet.
Butt,
you got
butt
it.
Soup, man.
Ah, quit your bitching. So, at least you're going. Better than being constipated.
What? I didn't know over resident. Oh, my wife's like, man.
She's
don't buy things
you
didn't want to buy. I won't. She's not pissed. Shut up, bitch. It's my money. It's our money. All right. So I think I ordered
money.
It.
Money.
Wait, okay. We're doing a show. Okay. I'm not supposed to be shopping. I'm Jankum Hornberger. Yeah. Jankum. What is Jankum?
It's poo and pee in a baggie that gets you high.
It gets fermented, and it doesn't really exist, but a bunch of politicians tried to outlaw it.
Yeah. It was in an episode of American Dad, too. Like, the bum tries to get Steve to do some Jankum, and Steve does some Jankum. Or Stan. Wait, which one's the dad? The dad's Stan.
Steve is the kid.
Steve's the son.
Stan is
Stan.
I'm Jankum Hornberger. So a bunch of people got shot. There have been a bunch of shootings lately, man. You know, is there more of it? Like, okay, let's say since Obama became president. Is there more of it since then? Or
somebody
is it
needs
just
to do a
paying
study.
Attention?
Yeah, it's always that's always a hard thing to say. You
or
can't
is it
really
being
answer
reported
unless,
more? You know, there's more 24-hour
exactly.
news.
Somebody would actually have to do like real work and like do a study on it and go dig and.
It sure seems like there've been more, man.
Feels like it to me too, but I can't say for sure. And
it's those people's fault though that they get murdered because they're not carrying guns.
There's not enough guns, man. There needs to be more guns. There'll be less shootings.
Fiend phone.
It's Randy Englin calling. He's going to tell us we're over the line.
Fiend
phone.
Fiend phone.
It's Randy Englin. We're sorry. We'll tone it down.
Hello.
Yeah, we're sorry. We'll turn it down, Randy. We'll stop.
What we got? Did we get in trouble with legal?
Randy's a Catholic priest. Oh, wait, he's a lawyer. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
He's a Catholic lawyer. He's a lawyer for the Catholic Church, and he's calling to give us an injunction for talking about Jankum.
He's asking us to buy more indulgences.
I didn't say his name, but I was thinking it when I was saying, yeah, I mean, like, dude, people involved in libertarian politics or, you know, like some libertarians just like, they're like, I try to avoid that kind of stuff. That's what you said. What's up, Randy England?
Well, you guys, have you decided whether it's completely wrong to vote or not? I'm trying to figure that out.
It's wrong for me.
I don't say it's wrong. Like, it's not morally wrong. I just say it's dumb. Like, why do it?
For me, it's morally wrong, but I won't say it's morally wrong for other people.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, and that's good of you, open-minded. But if you went there and there was only one question on the ballot and it said, shall the government be dissolved and none take its place? Would you go to vote?
If I thought it would work, yeah. But since when do they ever do things that they're voted to do, you know?
Well, that's true. I'm assuming if that was on the up and up, you know, would you vote for it?
Always the argument that if that was popular enough to get on the ballot, then we would already be at a point where we didn't, you know, need a government and people would just stop paying attention to it and it would already be gone. Like, I can't imagine a scenario where the government would actually put that on a ballot, because if it was that important of an issue to people, then there'd be so small of a government anyway.
Well, that's probably a good reason to be open-minded about it, because, you know, if everybody said we won't vote and just wouldn't, I won't dirty myself with going to the polls and I'm not going to let them indulge their fantasy that I'm going to approve of their crimes. If everybody refused to do that, then we win.
No.
But if everybody went to the polls...
Because then SEIU would still vote.
I said everybody. So
he said, well, yeah, in his theory, he said everybody.
A critique that I get a lot, and this was like the long run-on sentence that the guy couldn't clearly state what he thought he was saying. Part of what he was saying after I read it about six times and wasted a bunch of time on it was that he thinks that my strategy is ineffective, but he doesn't realize it's not a strategy. This is not a strategy. I don't think we're going to topple tyranny by not voting. It's more of a personal choice of I can't. It's two things. I can't co-sign that system by going down and voting, which I'm doing if I go down voting. I'm saying, well, I'm going to throw my beliefs out the window and say that a little bit of aggression is okay if it gets rid of some other aggression. And, you know, you can't do that with voting anyway. And that's the second part, is that it's never effective. Like, you know, if you vote for the guy who has the stance you like on abortion, you know, he's going to have a stance you don't like on weed or guns or something. There's never anybody who's just into freedom, except Ron Paul was headed there. And, you know, they shut him out of the process and changed the rules. So,
well, just like you said,
by voting.
Right. You can't fix it by voting.
Voting's an illusion. It's, you know, some anarchist about 100 years ago said if voting changed anything, it'd be illegal. And I maintain that that's true.
I think you're right on that. You know, the only reason I go is I look on the ballot to see if there's a local issue raising my taxes. And there always is, so I always go and vote no.
Okay, but do you ever win?
The past several times I've gone, we won, sometimes by a small margin. You know that little sticker that they used to give you, you know,
I voted. I put it on my gun.
I refused to take those and kind of disappointed some of those blue-haired lady judges, you know.
They're really into voting, man.
My mind now. From now on, I just vote no. And that's all I vote. So I'm going to take one of those stickers and get a magic marker and write a big no on it. And I'm going to wear that sign all day.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. On the ones where you've won, you know, where you're raising the tax 1 cent or whatever has been defeated, did you ever check out to see if they found a way to steal it in some other way, like raising property taxes or raising liquor taxes or raising cigarette taxes?
Yeah. It's on the ballot again this November, and they want to now raise the property tax. They're back at every single election wanting that money. And so far, the last three times we've been there for about the last year and a half, the public has just gotten sick of it, you know, and they're saying no, no, no. And it's hard for me not to go there just in self-defense to say no.
I understand that, but I just really believe, you know, so we're throwing the moral imperative out the window. We're going on the is it effective angle, I don't think it's effective because they don't even need to like have you vote to raise your property taxes. If it's turned down enough times, they'll just raise it. I mean, the city of Chicago raised the property taxes in one day by 66%, you know, and it was the city council who voted to do it, not the people.
Oh, well, you're right. And, you know, like I said, it's self-defense. I'm not saying it's always successful. I'm just happy when it is.
Yeah, I just think they'll find another way to steal it from you anyway.
You're right.
So really, it's just a like masturbatory like placation for the people to think they've done something when they're really not. I mean, the haters, you know, stealers are going to steal. They're going to take your money somehow and take your rights somehow. And if you say, I don't want my rights and money taken, they're still going to take it.
They seem to find a way.
So well,
go ahead.
Thanks, man. No, I'm good. I'm done. I could say the same things over 20 ways, but I said it.
No, I just wanted to see what you guys thought on the voting thing. But thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, man. Yeah, calling you anytime, Randy. Bye.
You bet.
I like Randy. Randy did an interview with him on the Anarchy Gumbo. He's a smart guy. He's written a book called Why Catholics Should Become Libertarians. And yeah, dig it.
Yeah. He's really awesome. Yep. I was going to jump in to say things, but you were like saying the thing I was going to say. I was like, oh, wow. Michael's really on top of it.
I kind of felt like, oh, no, dad's calling. When my real dad called and I didn't answer. And then like a guy who I don't want to make someone my father figure. That's a lot of burden. And I think he's actually about 10 years older than me, but he's way more mature. And, you know, he used to be a prosecutor and now he's an anarchist who's an actual lawyer, not a Mark Stevens, quote, lawyer. Yeah.
I'd wanted to ask him some stuff. I'd forgotten until after he hung up. I wanted to ask.
Yeah, we could have him back. You're kind of cutting in and out. It's probably because I don't have enough memory, but I just ordered $56 worth of memory. So, man, Nima, you are just cutting in and out. Why don't you go off Mumble and come back on Mumble? Yeah.
All right. I'll do that. So, we're going to go on a break here anyway. Soon,
I'm going to tell dirty limericks till Nima comes back. There once was a man from Nantucket whose schlong was so long he could suck it. I learned about this limerick from watching a really good movie last night on HBO called The Girl, which I recommend. It's a biopic about Albert Hitchcock and how he abused to motivate his actress, Tippi Hedren. Great movie. Great. Highly recommend The Girl playing now on HBO. It's about Hitchcock and Tippi Hedren. Tippi Hedren's still alive. She's 84 years old, and I saw an interview with her recently where she confirmed everything that's in that show. You there, Nima?
Yo, I'm back.
Talk.
Hopefully I'm not cutting out, but we gotta sell some stuff anyway. MC, this is MC Library.
This is DJ Canonical.
Canonical?
We're filling in for Canonical. Filling in for...
Gotta say it wrong.
We're filling in for DJ Sniper and... No, DJ Silencer and MC Choreboy. They're out today in the Crocodile Hospital.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes. Follow twitter.com/fiendtorrents to grab the past episodes and new ones as they post. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents, while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding the Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down. That's twitter.com/fiendtorrents.
Yeah.
DJ Canonical here. Canonical. DJ Canonical.
Yeah.
If you say it right, it's wrong. And you're MC Library.
I'm a Libertarian.
You know, I looked up Jenkum Hornberger, and he looks like a nice guy. Should we apologize to him? Or would that not be Macho Libertarian Flash?
Well, Jenkum Hornberger doesn't exist, so we can make fun of him all we want. He's our fictional character in the Fiends world.
Yeah. I got a nice picture. I found a nice
Jake
picture.
Jacob Hornberger's a cool guy.
He's a cool guy. Props to him. We apologize to him. Yeah, you know,
No, Jacob Hornbergers were harmed in the recording of this episode. Yeah. It was only fictional character Jankum Hornberger.
You know, one time I went to hear Jerry Stahl speak at a book signing in L.A. at some bookstore. And he's in my Selby movie. He's a writer on CSI. He writes the really twisted episodes of CSI, like where they find, you know, the libertarian paradise of the dead person in the getting the sex change operation, dying during surgery in the storage unit, that kind of stuff. That's Jerry Stahl, and he's very So you know, I was talking about Hitchcock on the break. I think CSI is influenced by Hitchcock, but that's a whole nother story. So some young writer did what a young writer does anytime there's a question and answer thing of an author at a bookstore. Guy raised his hand, said, "How do you become a writer?" And Jerry Stahl, without thinking about it, just immediately answered, "Ruin your life, hurt other people, and then apologize in print."
Really?
So okay. we heard Jacob Hornberger maybe, but we apologized in audio print. Yeah. So I'm really liking this picture of this sexy junkie chick with all the scabs on it that I found that I'm going to use for this episode, Macho Libertarian Flash.
Junkie porn, man.
DJ says that is not sexy.
Well, I don't advise anyone to search junkie hooker on Google. Man, there's a lot of weird porn out there.
But we can't tell you what to do. We can't tell you what to do.
Either not porn or it's cropped to where all you can see is her face and her scarred, scabbed up shoulders. But she's kind of foxy, man. I hate to say it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I hate getting injections, but, you know, I might allow it in this case.
Yeah. And I said she looks like she could be your wife's cousin because that's nothing about your wife. Like, it's just, you know, this woman and your wife's cousin could probably be in the same lineup. They're Eastern European, you know, glasses.
Yeah.
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 True. Pouty. True that. Yeah. Foxy. Yeah.
Pouty.
Yeah. Your wife could be the before picture and this lady could be the after picture of Macho Libertarian Paradise.
Yes, yes. We will all have bruises all over ourselves.
So, you know, I got an interesting request on Facebook today. I guess we're going to talk about why there's so many shootings, but I don't really care, man. People are stupid to not have guns. There was, you know, there was a shooting in a mall. There was a shooting at someone's house in South Central or somewhere in deep LA, South LA.
In Lipair, you would not have to fight your way back to your rifle because your rifle would always be strapped to your back.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there was like someone kicked in a door in what's not Edgewood? What's the thing you always hear about in rap songs? Ellington, Edgington.
Inglewood.
Inglewood, in Inglewood. Yeah, it was like home invader, you know, came in, like killed father, killed son, and then burned the house down while they were dying. And they said like the father acted heroically because he shielded the kid with his body. I'm thinking, well, it'd be a lot more heroically if he pulled out his shotgun and blown the guy away. It really would.
That's true. Yeah. And it would have been more heroic if he would have bought the shotgun. You know, even that's a heroic act, is acquiring the goods necessary to be heroic. So yeah, if the dad was prepared, I mean, maybe he was, I don't know. I didn't read the article. Did he not have any guns in the home or
no?
Did he just not get to his
guns?
He
didn't have any. No. And then there was a good one, which was some 12-year-old girl in Oklahoma who was home alone, shot and killed a home invader. Shot a home invader. Mm-hmm. And she's a little hero. She's a little hero,
see?
Man.
Yeah. See, there you go. There you go.
Fiend phone.
That little
fiend
girl
phone.
Was able to act heroic because fiend she had phone. A shotgun.
Fiend right. phone.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
What do you want, Fiend? What do you want?
What's up?
Who's this?
What's up?
Frank?
This is Frank.
All right. Make Frank. It snap. Make it snappy. I got a lot to talk about. Go ahead. I hate it when our call-in show gets interrupted by calls. I hate it, man.
Damn, fine. I'll hang up the phone.
There ought to be a law. No, man. What's up, Frank? We like you.
Don't threaten Frank.
Shit. No, I was just...
Frank's armed.
I was letting y'all know I'm actually going to my first ever protest tomorrow.
I'm sorry.
What are you protesting?
No, I'm excited.
What are you protesting?
What are you protesting?
It's like, I think it's a national day of protest from what I read, but it's against police brutality.
Cool.
Okay.
My prediction is it will do nothing to end police brutality and may actually encourage some, but there may be some against it in one of the cities where it happens. But here's what Ben Quaker says, is that public protest does nothing to change the minds of the people you're protesting against ever. All it does, the usefulness of it is letting other victims of the tyrants know they're not alone. So you're good to go.
Yeah, it'll make you feel better, but he's I think he's right in the fact that if you were a cop, imagine if you were a cop and you have that power anyway. You have a license to kill and a license to beat, and you see a bunch of people protesting. It's just going to make you more vindictive. Like if you see any of those people later and you pull them over, or just if you pull over anybody and you're like, ah, I remember these people who don't like cops. Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit vindictive. I'm going to be a little bit rough. I'm going to make sure I put the handcuffs on super tight. I'm going to smack this person in the back of the head, or I'm going to tase them. So I could definitely see it making cops more aggressive.
I think everyone having a camera on their cell phone and the willingness to deploy it does a little bit more to scare cops into being a little less bad than protesting.
Yeah, true. I think that's a perfect form of protest too. Is pulling out a camera.
Yeah, that's why they want to outlaw it, and they have in some states.
Yeah. But
they've actually outlawed filming the public official from states for some of them.
Yeah. Speak up a little, Frank. You're can't hear you too well.
Sorry. I'm hungover.
Yeah. Frank's a party animal, man. Yes, he's a party peep.
Not really. But what?
No, go ahead. What were you going to say, Frank?
I was just saying, you know, bartending all day, just dealing with alcohol makes you want to go drink. So I bartend and really? Then I go out and drink after I bartend.
I feel like it would make you not want to drink. Like,
it makes me want to drink.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess you really love your job then. Because usually when people do a job, they don't want to do whatever that job is outside of their job. They don't want to do what they see and hear all day long.
Well, no, bartending is actually a fun job, so.
Yeah.
At least for me.
For you.
So I had an interesting thing happen. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're just kind of mellowing. In slow gear, and I'm like, I have like 27 things to talk about written down.
Yeah, Frank's from Houston, man.
I'm about to get off anywhere.
Frank's from Houston. Okay, we love you, Frank. Call in anytime, but have some coffee. Right. Have some coffee before you do. All right.
All right.
No, have some drink. See, in Houston, they don't drink coffee. They drink drank.
Have some jankum. Drank them. Yeah.
That's in the yellow can.
So do you remember about a year ago, I was complaining on the Freedom Fiends about like some girl added me as a friend on Facebook, and I was like, cool. And I did what I immediately do when other people add me. I posted about the Freedom Fiends on her wall, and she just railed at me and like, you know, how dare you? She was new to Facebook and she doesn't know that's what Facebook is for. And, you know, she just started bitching at me on and on and on and on. And I blocked her. And me and my friends had a thread about it somewhere that I can't find anymore. But we bitched about it for about an hour and laughed at her. And I said that that it's like someone who goes into a Cajun restaurant and complains that the fish is burnt. You know, because that's how they prepare it. They blacken it, you know.
Yeah.
So she actually like contacted a friend of ours, a mutual friend, and said, you know, tell Michael I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I figured out, and I'll, you know, re-add him. Let him re-add me, please. Have him re-add me. And I did. It's just kind of funny.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's listening. Okay. She's listening right now.
Oh, good.
I want to say a shout out to her.
See?
Yo.
Awesome. See, that's redemption. Usually your complaints about Facebook and your rants about Facebook end in, screw it all, it sucks. And now it's like, oh, okay. No, it's redemption. You know, something has
been
made
right. I gave her a one-year probation. Yeah.
A probation. A double secret probation.
And she didn't try to contact me through some other way, which would really creep me out, and I'm glad she didn't. But, she did the right thing. She waited a year and then asked a mutual friend, hey, please, you know, groveled back. And now I'm not going to say that. I think she's kinky. I think she's a dumb A, so I don't want to insult her by saying she groveled back. She did the polite thing and was a good human being.
Grovel back, youngin'. Woo, woo.
What's that from?
Holler back, but it's grovel back. I changed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hip-hop song.
She probably doesn't know I'm kinky. She could call in and talk about kink if she wants. Give out the number when we get back.
Yeah. Okay, I guess. Yeah. We'll see.
You don't care. I just hung up on your brother. You're not going to help me.
Nah, screw you, man.
Screw you. Fuck you, Nima.
Yeah. I hope you get fucked by a crocodile.
So I just spent $56 on memory, so anybody... Oh, fuck. Comic
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself. A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon. Your house
is your property. Let's keep recording. Well, fuck you, Nima. What did you say? Poor me.
No, you got to complain first, and then I'll slap your ass down.
All right. Well, you know, people should send us money because I just spent like $56 out of my own pocket getting more memory for the computer that we use to do this show. You know,
poor you. You upgraded your computer. Boohoo.
You know, it kind of doesn't work as well.
Like, you weren't going to do that anyway?
It kind of doesn't work as well where you have the complaint and then the response and then the complaint and then the response again. We should just never stop recording, man. I really think we need like do a FOIA act and contact the government and get all the secret recordings they make while we're sleeping with our wives.
With each other's wives.
No.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, and it'd be nice to get a transcript of our encrypted communication too.
A tranny script?
A tranny script, yeah. Because I can't – sometimes I look back on the stuff you send me through encrypted means and I'm like, oh, man, I can't
– Well, because it's off the record. It's OTR. That's the name of the program. Yeah,
so tell the government to send me that because I'd like to read it.
DJ! Could you bring me a pack of cigarettes, please, baby doll head?
Pack of smokes. Smoke them if you got them.
Smoky treats.
Yeah. So how's my mic sound today? Any better, worse, same, whatever?
It sounds really good. I can't tell if it sounds better than normal. I mean, once you achieve over 9,000, it all sounds the same to me.
What's 9,000? The score?
It's a power level. Everybody's always trying to explain that meme to you, and you're like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is at all, man.
There's like a whole thread of you and I think Dalton where everybody explains to you what over 9,000 means.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't over teach 9,000. An old Michael new memes.
You can't teach an old... You got to talk louder, man. I can barely hear you.
You can't teach an old Michael new memes.
Project Chanology. Yeah. Oh,
it's those people. I'm sure I'm not too loud. I feel like I'm too loud, man.
You are when you get up on it like that, but you were...
All right.
Urban Dictionary.
I will go to Urban Dictionary and see what it says about over 9,000.
Okay. So you were complimenting me before you started insulting me.
Yes, that's
you're saying my audio penis is massive, but my knowledge of new of video games from 20 years ago is lacking.
I think it was an anime first. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I'm gonna quit recording.
Yo,
DJ Kaniacal.
Kaniacal. No, pop sends me to the pop filter I already have, which is, you know, the gooseneck one with the 6-inch diameter circle of black fabric that blinds me in the left eye now, which is why I'm moving away from the mic and being quieter. My bad. It's human behavior, man. Human action drives everything, even my mic sound. So
I was saying that everyone needs to send us lots of money because I just spent $56 upgrading my money, not Fiend's money, upgrading my computer.
Yeah, but you upgraded your computer, man. You don't deduct that. That's not Fiend's deductible.
But Nima, our Liberty Project lives and dies our with Liberty, people giving us all their money.
They must donate. Yeah.
Fuck that.
Okay.
Don't give us money. Starve us and see if we'll just keep going. We'll get stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the Gazans. Yeah, you can block us out and not feed us and we'll just keep
what's a Gazan?
Bitching and complaining from somebody from the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the governments are always starving them. The Israelis, the Americans, starving them constantly.
There was an
putting them on a diet, quote unquote.
There was an unintended consequence thing last week. Some government succeeded in shutting down Pirate Bay for a day, which happens about every 4 years. And Pirate Bay, like through Twitter, released like a zipped archive of the whole Pirate Bay site, and like 5,000 people downloaded it and started mirrors of Pirate Bay, and then Pirate Bay came back up the next day anyway. So like, you know, they cut off the head of the Hydra and like hundreds of heads grew in its place.
Yeah. See, that's a good answer and a good thing to tell people when they say, oh, well, you know, anarchists, libertarians, you'll never win. The state will win in the end. People will always have a big state.
Just watch any cop show or anything about the war on drugs, even if they're trying to promote the war on drugs. And they're always like, you know, standing in front of a room full of drugs and money and guns and saying like, we took this off the street, but there's still more out there. And I'm like, you're already taking most of the budget that's not going to the military. And, you know, even if you had 8 times as much, the more they push, the more market they create because
exactly
they drive the price up and that creates a pipeline. You know,
it's like they're playing whack-a-mole, but the machine doesn't dispense tickets. They're constantly putting all the quarters in it, and then they come back to mommy and daddy and ask for more quarters so they can just beat the whack-a-mole. But they don't realize that the game never ends. They can't beat the game.
Except they come back to mommy and daddy and mug them and take more quarters. they steal it from their purse.
they reach into mommy's purse. Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of which,
mommy's food.
Panetta, who's like in charge of the military, threatened the internet this week. He said that.
You, internet.
He said we need more control on it. And he actually used the phrase, he said, Congress has a gun pointed at what we need to do because they're not moving on this fast enough. Now, why is that silly and ironic?
Because that's all the government can do. That's all Congress can do is say which directions the guns point. So, yeah, I think he's being a little bit too real there. Who said that, Petraeus?
Yeah, no, Panetta. It's really funny when the government uses the terms that we use on them on, you know, what's not being done for them. Who else did that? It's in that movie. What's the movie? Somebody mentioned it on our, we had a thread about libertarian movies or, you know, canonical movies. What is it? It was, there's a movie where someone uses the broken window fallacy to explain why what they're doing is good.
Most movies ever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure which movie, which Fiends thread is it in? Well,
I'm looking it up, man. We'll move on. But it's Yeah, I can't even do this, man. There's too much good stuff on our Fiends blog. I can't find it all. Fifth Element deserves to be on the Grant said Fifth Element deserves to be on the main list more than any others because this of the scene where the villain uses the broken window fallacy to justify his evil deeds. True.
I don't remember, man. I saw Fifth Element a long time ago. Maybe I should rewatch it. I'll have to take Fiend's word for it.
It's a fun popcorn, big budget popcorn movie.
Yeah, it's great. I really enjoyed watching it when I watched it. But I don't remember a whole lot about it. I do remember that the cigarettes, the filter to tobacco leaf ratio was like reversed. That's pretty much the only thing I remember about Fifth Element. And the chick was really hot. But I guess in retrospect, I imagine the state would have something to do with that. I mean, why would the market make somebody have a bigger filter than they have actual tobacco? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about, man.
So imagine your cigarette, right? Imagine the white part that is all tobacco was all the brown part that is filter. And then the part that is filter was the white part with tobacco. That's what their cigarettes look
like. That's what will happen within a few years, probably. So there was another one of these like false flag things where the FBI quote unquote stopped some poor sap who was planning to quote unquote attack the Federal Reserve Bank.
It wasn't his plan. It was the FBI's plan in the first place. So
and I think
it's ridiculous that they blame him for planning this terrorist plot when they planned. They are the ones who planned it.
Yeah. And they just found some poor sap and talked him into something or probably threatened his family. I don't know how they did it. I don't know how they did it.
As Scott Horton says, they found the dumbest kid in the mosque. I don't even know if that's the case this time, but if not, it's
the angriest kid in the mosque. Yeah. He kind of looked like you though. I noticed that.
We all look alike.
Yeah.
I know that though. Yeah. And in the future, terrorists will just be anybody with a beard. Like, you don't even have to be Middle Eastern. As long as you have a beard.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Get the phone. Get the damn phone.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys?
God, you sound great. Do you have a microphone?
Yeah, you do.
Yes, I do, actually.
Who are you? You can talk as long as you want, man.
Cool, man. This is Brian. I've been listening to you guys for a while. I'm the guy, Michael, who sent you the Stalin's royalty check a while ago.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But
was that for the Mosin? Because you bought a Mosin?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, did you send me a check?
I thought forget. That was a riot. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, you called it Stalin's royalty.
What'd you send me?
Because I sent you guys a donation last year.
I don't remember what I said, which is not surprising, but thank you for the donation. It's about time for another one there, isn't it?
Big balls, Michael. Big balls.
Gosh, you're shameless. What was that you were saying about the libertarian begging stuff?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of parodying myself while also asking for money.
Yes. No, I actually been looking at your DVD and on the gun training thing and was thinking it's about time that I donate again. So
well, you should order one for me because it's $10 less than Amazon, and I'll sign it for you.
Sweet, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Yep.
But yeah, I just figured I hooked up my interface to record some music and thought, oh, those guys are probably on. So figured I'd say hi and
tell us what your interface is, because it sounds amazing. What gear are you using right now?
It's a Focusrite. I think it's a Sapphire. No, it's the Scarlett 2i2.
That's an expensive mic, isn't it?
No, it's that's just the audio interface. And it was actually, I won a Amazon gift card and figured I'd upgrade my interface from the old Tascam I was using. And so I got that, and then I got a little dynamic mic, AKG D790.
Did you go to Brigham Young University?
I did not. I actually went to Utah State.
Are you on Facebook?
So, yeah.
What's your, I'm looking for Brian Anderson.
Do you have any other hardware?
I'm on there. I might not be searchable because I upped my privacy settings a while ago. But all Michael, right. You and I are friends. Actually, Nima, I think you and I are too.
Where are you? Yeah. Oklahoma City?
No, Salt Lake.
North Carolina? Salt Lake?
Maybe I really upped those privacy settings.
Yeah, I think you did, man. All right. Well, we're going into a commercial. I'll get your email address and I'll send you the link to order the, because I'm going on my weekly trip to the post office on Monday, so.
Sweet, man. Actually, yep. I got the blog sitting up in front of me, so.
Oh, I'll scroll down to the one that says $15 deal on gun training DVD.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I got that open. Okay. So.
Well, I got PayPal open, so I'm waiting for your money. I don't see it yet.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll do it after I get off here with you guys.
Okay, thanks.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
6 drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yo.
Yo, yo.
It's,
yo.
It's the Fiends. It's the Fiends. Yeah. We actually held Brian over in the last segment. He was telling us about how he runs. While he runs, he's listening to the Fiends. We're his workout music. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, that's right.
How much weight have you lost listening to the Fiends?
I have lost 50 pounds on Liberty. Listening to Freedom Fiends.
50 pounds on Liberty. Nice.
Yeah. Man, how long have you been doing that?
You know, I started August of last year. So I started about the first episode I heard was moderates or this one about moderates or people who think
everything should
be
a little bit illegal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I saw that on Claire Wolf's blog and thought that's pretty dang funny. So I had to listen to these guys. And so started running about the same time and lost 50 pounds. Pretty awesome.
Nice.
Do you have any kind of Fiends diet too? Like, do you change your eating habits as well? Or is it just that you work out so much when you're listening to the Fiends because we inspire you to sprint?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I changed my diet more in the sense that I track my calories a lot better. I use my chromed robot turd and a little app that I've got on there called MyFitnessPal, which is free.
Do we have, you know, that should be on the glossary.
You changed your intellectual diet because you've been listening to the Fiends. Yeah. We're supplement in that way.
Well, the funny thing about that is Fiend speak comes out. I was talking to my brother the other day and I brought up the non-aggression principle, and which, I mean, isn't a Fiends thing specifically. Like, I read it on L. Neil Smith and all that, but I have to stop myself and explain those kind of things. Like, I said worms the other day to a bunch of people that had no idea what I was talking about, and they just kind of let it slide, which was cool.
They let it slide, right. They act like they didn't.
They're like, Brian, you're weird. But
I'm adding chromed robot turd to the glossary. I can't believe it's not on there.
Yeah, it wasn't already there.
We use a lot.
Well, I know it's in all your commercials, or it's in the commercial that DJ does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I hear
nobody
that
has them funny. Like chromed out anymore. Everybody has the like the rubber over their phones now, like the giant rubber cases.
Well, because
like,
they realize that Bling doesn't protect it when you drop it or it gets wet.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So they put condoms on it. They need like stylish condoms for the chromed robot turret too.
Yeah. I need them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But on my chromed robot turd, I really like the color of it. It's like this nice, deep royal purple. But I'm going to have to put a condom on it. And they didn't have a condom in this in the same color. And they don't have a clear condom for my phone. So
they don't have one the right size?
Well, not a clear one. They have them that are the right size. In fact, I ended up with a holster. Oh, I get it. You made a joke.
I was making a joke. I was trying to be subtle.
Yeah. No, that was good. It was good. That's very, very nice subtlety there. Yeah. See, we do that sometimes too on the Fiends. Like, I'll make a really subtle joke, and it's too subtle, and Michael will just keep steamrolling ahead.
We did that last week.
You said translate over the radio.
No, I just talked too much. Nima said something brilliant last week that I wanted to bring up and praise him for. We were responding to someone who was complaining about how, you know, we just complain and don't really have any solutions. And Nima said, "Well, we don't have any." What did you say exactly?
I said, we're not the libertarian central planners.
We don't need to have solutions.
Such a thing doesn't even exist. You can't have liberty if you have central planning. So asking us for all the answers, you're doing it wrong, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like asking a priest how to behave on your wedding night.
Right. It's taking all the free agency out of it. I mean, people are supposed to they're not supposed to have a plan given to them. They're supposed to come up with it themselves. And that's the whole beauty of or liberty themselves in general or anything like that.
Individually. Yeah. And Ben Stone brings up a very similar point when he says that, you know, the market dictates that there will never be just one solution to any problem. Because you have a market, people will constantly be coming up with new solutions. And there will always be more than one solutions that people are using at any given time. So ask us how the roads will be built, because the roads will be built in a multitude of ways by a multitude of entities in LibPair.
Yeah, well, I think that when I drive, because I live in Utah, and obviously all the roads are all, Neil, you probably know this, but all the roads are always, always under construction down here.
Yes.
And whenever somebody says, you know, well, who would build the roads? I look at the road cones and crap with nobody standing by them.
You say those guys over there.
I say, guys who actually know what they're doing would build the roads, and it would cost us less.
Nice. Yeah. But, in fact, the first time I'd ever heard that concept of you know, the way roads work was in Utah. We were pointing out construction, and somebody made the comment of, well, you know, they do that on purpose, right? Because they get paid by the hour. So they take a long time to fix the road, and they make sure they're always fixing a road so that they always have work and employment.
That's another same reason why a lot of railroads built like 100 years ago don't go straight for very far, because they made more money by putting more curves into them.
Yeah, it takes them longer.
More effort. Yeah, more effort, more engineering to put curves in.
I have to add Pee-Pee Kitty to the glossary, too. I just went and did that, and I realized that's not on there when you say that all the time.
That's an old one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's also Pod Pee, which is the new one. So, yeah. You know, because now we can just – the internet, man. It's audio only. We can go to the bathroom while we're podcasting.
I'm a couple of casts behind. I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
That's like where one of you sneaks off and leaves the other one talking.
Yeah. I just did that.
No, that's Pee-Pee Kitty. You guys didn't notice. Pod Pee is when you have a beer bottle next to you and you just go.
Oh, it's like when you're on the freeway and you've got an empty bottle in the car.
Empty Gatorade bottle. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
It happens.
I'm not going to say whether I've done that or not.
that says it all, Brian. That says it all. What part are you talking about?
I have changed my entire wardrobe on the freeway before.
Just this nice, airy gym shorts, right?
Not recently. I think that was when I was younger and dumber and had no concept of self-preservation.
So are you like near Salt Lake, or what part of Utah are you from?
Yeah, South Jordan.
That's where Nima's from there.
South Jordan. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you were in Sandy, right?
Yep. I grew up, sort of grew up, till I was like 8 in Sandy. And my dad lives in Draper now, so I'm always visiting. Not always, a lot less now that I've grown up, but occasionally I still go back and visit.
Dude,
and
don't get your family droned. Don't say where they live.
Yeah, actually, I'm just basically the other side of the freeway from your dad. So, hey, anytime you're up here and want to say hi something, let me give me some notice.
It'll probably be a long time from now, and we'll be like, Nemo will call me up and be like, who was that guy that, and I'll be like, I don't even remember what episode that was. But I'll go, you know what though? He ordered some things for me on PayPal, so I can look him up and get his information for you.
Well, he's our friend on Facebook, and I'm pretty sure you've messaged us before,
well,
right?
We've had message conversations. I have like 5,000 friends on Facebook, and there's like a couple hundred people have ordered stuff on PayPal for me. So I could find a lot easier once you make a donation and order something.
I may remember that it's Brian, though, and I'll just go with Brian, and I'll be able to pull it down from there.
Stop it.
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to buy the DVD. Story about Glocks. So, and I got to take off in just a sec, but sure. bunch of friends of mine went shooting yesterday. Brought a couple of people who hadn't been shooting before, and this girl came with us. And somebody asked her, we'd been just kind of chatting for a minute. I didn't know her all that well. Somebody said something to her about guns, like, oh, you know, have you shot before? And she's like, well, you know, I didn't bring my rifle with me. All I brought is my Glock. And me and three other guys just kind of look over at her like,
be still my throbbing penis.
Me again? And she pulls up her jacket and she's got this Glock 19 Gen 4 just on her belt. Nice. It's been there the whole time. We're like, that's the most attractive thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
It was cool. Just this, you know, would never know.
So have you started courting her?
I'm probably going to ask her out this week. So nice. I got to give her a call later today.
You know, it's weird that the world is such that it's so rare that a woman carries a gun.
I gotta lock that down.
Yeah, I've seen that kind of comment from people before about a woman who shoots and been like, what's wrong with the world where that's that unusual, you know?
Yeah,
that's true. Seriously. Actually, I had I was talking to somebody the other day and they were commenting on all the, apparently in Utah, at the Salt Lake International Airport, there's been a lot of people getting their guns and tasers confiscated at the airport.
What?
And they were commenting on that as though it's a bad thing, you know, that people keep forgetting and they're bringing their guns. And I thought, man, I love my state. Like, everyone walks around armed. Like, I hate that they're getting their stuff taken away.
So, can you have it in your car while you go in to pick someone up in the airport, or is it they're bringing it into the airport?
No, they're actually bringing it through security with it, not thinking about it.
Oh, because they
forget. I've driven through that airport my Mosin in the back seat of the car by mistake because I missed my exit. And the whole time I'm thinking, nobody look in the back of my car. I didn't even have a blanket over it. So I was lucky. No goons saw my rifle in the back of the car. But
good.
Well, there you go. Good happy ending. We got to go sell some stuff. Thanks so much for calling, Brian.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah.
Take care, man.
Talk to you guys later.
See ya. Bye.
Worms.
Bye. Actually, with that whole call, I was trying to sell stuff, but okay, we'll go sell more.
Full fictional evil plan. Yeah, we're back, man. We were back.
How much of that did they hear, man?
I think they heard after that. But not necessarily. There was a verb to the whole phrase, but not a subject or an object. So
we were joking about like imitating Stacey Litz on the air. I was like, we got one episode, one segment left. How can we really like outdo the Macho Libertarian Flash? And I was like, by being really statist and turning our friends in on the air.
There you go.
For shit they already talk about on the internet, but we would never do it.
Macho Libertarian Flash. I think there would be a sexatorium in every neighborhood. Go to, and there would be every kind of, it would be like the internet, but in real life, you know,
and
as
Jane,
far as the variety of sexualness.
Every caller should be like the last caller, like perfect audio, says great stuff, and buys shit. I mean, and really, if you don't sound that good, you don't sound that together, and you're not going to buy shit, just don't even bother calling, because we don't care. I don't want to hear from you.
Macho, you're so macho, Michael. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start calling you Macho Man, Michael Savage.
Camacho Man. Jane Krakowski. That's the name of the actress who plays Jenna on 30 Rock. She's a Krakowski. Yeah. She's dirty, man. I'd do her.
Yeah, dirty.
But I don't like her tranny boyfriend because he's like, it kind of disturbs me. He's too manly. I like my trannies a little more feminine and passable, you know?
But humor-wise, like, I think the manlier the transvestite, the funnier the bit is, so...
I guess.
I think so. I guess it depends on the bit, but
he looks.
He's hilarious. Their relationship, like he's a crossdresser, but he dresses like her, Jenna Maroney, and they're together, and it's
the only time that actor is ever funny on Saturday Night Live. He does deadpan. It's not funny. It's just dead.
I don't know. I think he's pretty funny, and I think he was funny on Tim and Eric when he's like he hosts a quilting show, and he's always like talking about how his dad beat him and abused him, and
that's hilarious, Nima.
But it's funny. I don't know. He deadpans it and it actually works. But Tim and Eric, you got to be in a certain mood for that, and it's a certain kind of funny.
Kenneth Parcell, the page, is the real breakout character on 30 Rock. He volunteers for the Big Brother program, which he points out is not affiliated with the mentoring organization. This one secretly monitors people and makes sure they're behaving properly.
Yeah, he's pretty hilarious. Probably my favorite. I don't know. The thing about 30 Rock is it's such an ensemble cast. Like, literally every character is my favorite character all the time.
Kenneth carries a gun, too. There's one where he's fired as a page and he has to turn in his page badge. And he turns in his badge and turns in his gun, too. It's a Glock.
Yeah. Although that's not his gun, then. That's the man's gun.
Yeah.
Like, if you turn in your gun at the end, it's not your gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Stato gun or a Corpo gun.
Yeah. In The Shield, when Vic turns in his gun, he goes out hunting for Rat Boy with his own gun, which would be illegal because as soon as you're not a cop in L.A., you can't carry a gun legally anymore. Ugh. But he's just above the law, you know.
Yeah, the law doesn't apply to him. He's the prototype for every cop everywhere.
No, actually, I think the French Connection would be or Serpico or Dirty Harry. No, I think Serpico came first. You know, the guy who has to bend the rules.
What's Serpico?
What's Serpico?
Serpico? Really? There's a thing called Serpico?
It's actually parodied in the South Park. Here's how you'll know what it is. In the South Park where the kids in South Park have to bust a meth lab and the cop is like yelling at them, you know, their sergeant when they come back, like, you blew up a UPS truck and blah, 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 and you break the rules. And then they go into the shower and the cops in the shower are all talking about like effing them up because they're exposing that, you know, that's from Serpico.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I've seen a reference. I've never heard it called.
It's
that
from 1973, and it's Al Pacino. It's his break. It's his real breakout role. He plays a cop who, like, you know, bends the Constitution to get those evil drug dealers who can't be gotten within the Constitution.
So do they use the constitutional, you know, type of language there? Like,
I don't know. There's a picture. I'm looking at a picture of him from it. He looks like he's testifying before Congress. So probably.
Yeah. I'm looking at a picture of him too, and like he looks like a Muslim terrorist in the movie photo. Like he's got this long beard and unkempt hair.
Well, he's an undercover.
He's swarthy.
He's playing like a hippie drug dealer, you know, undercover.
Okay.
So he can bust those evil drug dealers, and he's the hero.
Yeah. What a douche! How could that be the hero of the movie?
What a douche, man.
Somebody who's trying to keep commerce from happening, you freaking pinko commie. You know, what the hell?
In a real minarchist paradise, the FBI would arrest people for doing that because they're interfering with interstate commerce.
There you go. That's some macho libertarian flash right there.
Yeah. It's a macho minicarian flash.
Minicarian, yeah. Because you'd assume an FBI. But you can have an FBI type thing. You, like the agencies in the Probability Brooch. I mean, there's still like these big organizations that are rich and wealthy. But there's like three of them and they compete. They're not monopolies.
Isn't one of them kind of dirty too?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I guess I'll have to go back and read the Probability Brooch in between days when I haven't gotten the new
Scott Beezer
Quantum Vibe. Yeah,
Scott Beezer rhymes with geezer. I have to keep saying that. You know, me trying to learn the alpha phonetic alphabet on the air like I've been doing and will continue doing, it kind of reminds me of how the guitarist in the Grateful Dead, what was his name? NATO alphabet. Let me find this in my notes. I have like 50 pages of notes we're never going to get to, man. But one of the guitarists in the Grateful Dead, not Jerry Garcia, the other guy... Bob Weir. He in the Grateful Dead, he learned to play slide guitar on stage, which is really painful. It's kind of like listening to someone learn clarinet on stage.
You know? I hate the slide guitar for the most part.
Really?
It is not an instrument I'm fond of.
I don't like it when it's
breaking. Wait, is the slide guitar different? I'm thinking of the steel guitar.
It's a guitar playing the slide. Actually, I don't like conventional steel guitar, but I like when it's played kind of trippy. The guitarist in Bomb played steel guitar and made it sound fucking evil. And there's actually
Like it in country.
There's a lot of pedal steel in Pink Floyd, like in Breathe in the Air.
I always thought it was a synthesizer.
No, man,
imitating
it's pedal steel. I've seen
them
doing it live. You know,
I'll be damned. Oh, well, I like it in that. So
yeah, when it's not.
I guess it's not the instrument, it's how you use it.
This pedal steel my friend played in that song I sang for my daughter, that version of Hallelujah, which is pretty tasteful and sweet and kind of country, but not overt country. Like, I don't like it as a lead instrument. I like it as kind of like strings, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So, man, we're getting away from the Macho Libertarian Flash here. I mean, we got minutes left here. Say something really shocking. Piss people off. Talk about how things would be in libertarian. Hey, you know what? I got something good. This isn't really flashy, but it's libertarian. I saw a guy open carrying in the Walmart yesterday. I've never seen that of like someone I didn't know open carrying in this town.
Do you open carry in the Walmart?
Not anymore.
I mean, I guess you don't really open carry anymore.
Not anymore.
I don't think I ever have. I think I always conceal carry in Walmart.
But this guy was like probably 50, and he was there with his like 10-year-old daughter, and they looked really happy and normal, and like, you know, it looked normal to me. It was cool. And I when we went by him again, I waved at him and he said hi, and I like pointed at his gun and gave him a thumbs up and he said thanks. You know, I didn't like open my shirt and show him mine or anything, but it was really cool. And you know what else they got in Walmart now? They got like survival packs. They're like these 5 gallon or 8 gallon. They kind of look like the things that kitty litter comes in, you know?
Yeah. And I think they've had those for a while, though. I don't know how new that is.
There's no Bible quotes on them. I think there should be Bible quotes on them for Wyoming. But no, it says they're good for 25 years, too. It says they're good for storage or survival or camping and like, you know, it's got enough food for like, you know, 2 people for 7 or 10 days or something. And that's kind of a neat idea. And
they should start selling gold at Walmart. That's the next step, right? They have a gold broker where you can buy bullion in the Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just have a money lith out front. You know, they've got the Coinstar.
Silver lith. Yeah.
Put a bunch of money liths in front of Walmart. That's what y'all should do.
The anti-Coinstar. It spits coins out at you instead of takes them in.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
It converts FNRs, FRNs to real money instead of converting fake metal money to FRNs.
Yeah, yeah.
Coinstar is a pretty good business idea, though. Somebody really thought of something that needed to be filled there. I like it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I can dig it. I can dig it. Although it should have an algorithm to pick out 1964 coins and be like, well, this is worth way more than actual money. Do you want this back?
They're so rare in circulation.
They are. Everybody's picked them out by now.
That's one of the things when I have my dad on next week, I'm going to we're going to talk about silver, and I'm going to show him my silver, and we're going to talk about it on the air, because he's the guy that taught me in about 1974 to look for dimes from 64 or earlier.
And
we have a relative, I don't know if it was on my mother's side or my dad's side, but we had a relative who bought a new car with silver dollars back when they were silver. I want him to tell that story. It's a pretty awesome story.
Yeah, yeah. How much did it take? Was it like
it was like $1,100? It was in like, you know, 1955 or 58. It was like a brand new like Ford, whatever.
Did they have rolls of silver dollars back then? You know, like you have a roll of quarters.
No, he brought it in. Well, what it was he used to throw them in a hole in the wall in the barn or in the house, and then he brought them in like 20 gallon milk containers, like big metal milk containers.
Okay, awesome.
They'd use to take the milk to market.
Right. So we'll get to hear lots of cool old stories like that pretty soon here. Monday, right?
Worms.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Worms.
No, it's not going to go out till Tuesday, but yeah. All right.
All right. Well, close enough.
Fiend out. Fiend out, man. Fiend out.
Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Check out the new show, The Freedom Fiends Agenda, on Adam Curry's No Agenda Global Radio. Streaming live every Thursday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. East Coast U.S. time. The Freedom Fiends Agenda is Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati's fun and feisty chat about market anarchy, self-defense, real money, the digital police state, activism, DIY media, sex pets, and rock and roll. Call in soon before they get droned. Live studio number 307-215-5171 or via Skype to username kittyfeet1. Listen live at nagradio.com. That's nagradio.com. The Freedom Fiends from freedomfiends.com.